From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe with vanquished is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this hit stay. Serve him a gift, number four, danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Your duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, be long this day. The victor's song, to him that overcometh, crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Ryan Lewis, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now turn back over to 391. 391. I am resolved. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. Hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom of sin. Foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten, hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
All right, our last song this evening is 482, Dwelling in Beulah Land. 482.
Thank you.
of strife upon my ear is falling, then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow their cry. Me, I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here the mountain are me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on a mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for in Beulah land, viewing here the works of God, I see in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. I am dwelling in Beulah land.
Amen. Thank you, young people. Appreciate that wonderful testimony. Put that down. Yep, no PowerPoint tonight, so you just got to look at me. Looking forward to looking at God's Word. I wish Nick could have been here tonight. I tell you, I got a chance to talk with him. He trusted the Lord this past Thursday, and we met with him this afternoon, and I could see him watching this song being sung out about the grace and the freedom in Christ. And he's just a brand new believer, just rejoicing in the salvation that God had brought to him and saved him out of a gang culture. And he's talking about how his whole, just within 4 days, he's talking about different areas of his life that are just changing for him. His whole perspective on the guards and everything. Just he never prayed before Thursday, and now he's praying ever since Thursday. And just really, really neat to see God doing the work in his life. And I'm just excited. So thank you for those who are praying for that ministry, and continue to pray for Nick. And he did say, you know, I might have to go back to the federal prison. And I was part of a gang there that if you try to get out of that gang, there's an element of that element that he has to deal with. And he's like, it's a reality for him. And he said, I'm afraid. And able to share some scripture verses to encourage him. And I'm so thankful the Word of God that's true thousands of years ago is true today. And when God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee, we can bank on that today. And he can claim that truth. So just encouraging time. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. The text is short, so maybe the message will be short. Can't guarantee it, but we'll see if we can keep it to a focus to what God has for us here. But we are here looking at the last words of verse 2, and I'll read that. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just call upon your name. We ask for your Holy Spirit to take your precious word and to apply it to our hearts and enliven our lives so that we might truly love you more. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the standard greeting of a New Testament letter. If you were to go through and say how many verses in the scripture in terms of books of the Bible, New Testament letters, so we're talking about Romans, and starting from Romans all the way through Revelation, how many, that takes us 27 books, that I would take off the Gospels, those are not a letter, and Acts is not a letter, so those are in a separate genre. So take those off, we have 22 books, and you can say, well, Revelation is its own letter, that's true, but it is a letter in which John is writing. And if we write all those, one of them just begins with a reference to God's grace, and that's 2 John. One of them only has a reference to God's grace at the end of them, and that's at Hebrews. And then there are four books of the Bible, James, Jude, 1 John, and 3 John, that do not end and begin with a reference to, there's no reference to grace in this type of way, but every other letter. So we're looking at now, we went from 27 down to 22, so now we're at 18, and then we have two that mention it. So 16 books of the Bible begin with a reference in the introduction, just like this, saying, grace unto you. And they also end with a closing benediction, and it's something very similar to the way that 1 Peter ends with a call for peace. Peace be with all of you at the end of this book. Trying to think if I think the reference maybe, I'm not sure if I included, anyway, so I don't know if it would necessarily qualify, but he does reference grace here at the very end where he says, testifying, this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. So grace is mentioned at the beginning and the end of most of the New Testament books. And what can happen to us here, I think, and as we look at this, is that we can just read through the Bible and say, oh yeah, that's the Bible talk, you know. Yeah, Paul just saying the normal things Paul likes to say, and Peter says that too. But I'm going to challenge us tonight to not think that way. That God has chosen these two particular words, though a few of the epistles include mercy between grace and peace, but most of the time it's grace and peace in terms of the benediction. Because this is the truth. All you need as a believer are those two words. Everything that God has packed into the meaning of those two words is sufficient for the entirety of your Christian life. I was meditating upon this as I was leaving a hospital room in which someone is a believer, meditating upon the rest of their life and how much life they have left and what God's doing for them and whether their health, where it hangs in the balance, and a spouse who's wondering what's going to happen and what's the next step that's going to take place in their lives. And the reality is, out of their mouths, not my mouth, not me telling them about the message, their own mouth is, God's grace has been with us. And we have been filled with such peace. We have everything that we need. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you will go through. The grace of God and the peace of God is everything that the believer needs. And if you and I believe that we need something more than that, God's going to bring and orchestrate our lives so that we'll come to the realization, no, that's all that I need. Is the grace of Jesus Christ and the peace that comes from this. As we look at these two things, I believe that there's a relationship between grace and peace. If we were to take the analogy that Jesus gives in John chapter 15, where he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. You cannot bear fruit except you abide in me. For without me, you can do nothing. What is it? When you are connected into the vine and the branches inside of, there's something that we call sap, or this fluid that's life-giving, that if it's connected away, and I can just walk around my yard and I can look at my flowers, and I've got some that used to be, some nice flowers. So I'm not trying to compliment myself, but I like them, so I'm going to call them nice. Some yellow flowers, and there's a nice, beautiful section, and in one whole section of this one plant, it's all brown. And like, what happened? My kids. Someone with a baseball bat or running through, stepped on it, and they broke off, and you look under the bottom where you couldn't see, and someone had stepped on that plant, and it had been broken off, and the life-giving flow had stopped long before I ever saw it. What the Bible calls that life-giving flow is grace. Grace is a summary word that describes all of God's activity towards you. Everything that He imparts, all of His gifts towards you, it is all summarized as grace. You know what that life-giving flow does to that plant? It causes it to grow and gets bigger and fuller, and then it puts out these beautiful buds that are enjoyable to look at. And when the plant doesn't have one of its sections crumpled off, it has a nice full array of flowers. And you know what the Bible calls that? It calls it peace. Peace is the end result of all that grace gives. And so in these two words, you have the activity of God and the intent of God laid out. And He says, you know what? I want to just communicate to you, what do you as believers need? What is the intent and the heart of God It's to give you grace and to lead you to a place of peace. I think we can end the message right there. I want to substantiate a few things about what grace is and what peace is. But hopefully we'll never lose sight of this summary that I'm trying to give to you right there. This is the totality of the Christian walk and everything that we need from our God. And so this is not just some... And what's so fascinating is the word greeting in Greek. When someone, if you were writing a secular letter, and we have plenty of those that have been found, they would often say, greetings to you. And this word, greeting and grace, are very close, but they're not the same word. And we don't find anything in the secular literature in which they were saying grace to you. They were saying greeting to you. The Apostle Paul took that word and he said, by the Holy Spirit, but I think there's an element divinely through the Spirit of God moving in his heart, went something like this and said, wow, that greeting looks a whole lot like grace. And it Christianized the greeting from greetings to grace be to you. That doesn't minimize it. That I think in God's providence, those two words end up being grace is the all-encompassing word of everything you need. And it's a perfect word to describe this element. And what from that aspect, you know what I think it means? It means just a little life lesson, just tucked in a little word like that. That Jesus Christ changes everything. He changes every part of your life, even how you introduce in a letter. Because Jesus is everything. Do you want to see a personal letter written by Paul? Just read the book of Philemon. That is a personal letter. It's not a doctrinal letter. It's just the Apostle Paul talking about a runaway slave, and he needs to have a transaction to take place between two Christians. And you know what? Jesus Christ's name is mentioned almost 17 times in a verse of 22 verses. Jesus Christ impacts every part of our letters. So these playing off of the Greek greeting, do you know how the greeting would take place in Hebrew? If you were to go to Israel today and you were to be introduced, if I was in China, I might say, oh boy, no, my wife's going to tell me. I would say, nanhai, right? Am I saying that right? No. Nihao, thank you. Oh, yeah. See, I know this. It's been a while. It's been many, many moons ago. Nihao, we would say, oh yes, and you have your greeting, how are you? And say hi. You have your standard expression, and you're like, this seems kind of stupid. Every time I see someone, I say hi. But we do the same thing in English. Hello. Hi. We do that all the time. We've got a standard word that we introduce. In Hebrew, what did they say? Shalom. Hey, you guys are pretty good. Give it to me in Hebrew. Shalom. Peace. This is how they greeted one another. I'm going to explain why that is in just a moment. And so he's taken the Hebrew greeting and the Greek greeting. He's combined them together and he's given us a formula for Christian growth and transformation. All that God is doing for us. Oh, so beautiful. Let's go ahead and look at what grace is. I normally have my computer right here that tells me the time. That's why I'm so time conscious. Now I'm just like, yeah, so way up there. Who knows when this thing will end? All right. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 is the first reference to grace. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in that analogy there, we begin to understand what is grace. It means that if you have grace in my eyes, that means you have favor in mine eyes. There's an element that says, I look at someone and I love them, and I am kindly disposed in my heart towards that person. Now, this brings us into a little bit of an interesting dilemma. I'm going to kind of dive into a definition. And I'm just going to let the cat right out of the bag and we're going to wrestle with it and go on. We talk about this meaning unmerited favor. And that is absolutely true. There's an element to this that we have to hold on to this that says, when God looks upon us with grace, It is never responding and paying us back for some work that we did. Romans chapter 11 is very clear about that. Romans chapter 11, make sure if I've got that one here listed. I'm working on a little different format here tonight. Okay, Romans chapter 11, verse 6. If by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So here's two things that are antithetical to each other. One is, did you earn it? Or did you get it by grace? Very clearly, when you received grace from God, Noah did not earn God's favor. But I'm going to tell you that there are conditions for grace. You have to meet the conditions to receive the grace of God. And that may sound like you're earning it. You're not earning it. Let's go back to the analogy. Well, let me prove that you need conditions. 1 Peter 5:5, you know this verse. For God resisteth the, but he giveth grace unto the humble. God doesn't give grace to the proud. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So there's an element that you better, if you want the life-giving flow, you better be connected into the vine. You better be meeting the qualifications for the grace of God. And when you receive the grace of God at salvation, nobody receives the grace of salvation with a proud and haughty spirit. God, through His work, is bringing you to that humility by which God can pour out His grace. I love the aspect of thinking grace is like water. It always runs downhill. It always finds the lowest place. And God's grace is going to those who get humble before Him. Noah, in this aspect, he found favor with God, is not completely divorced from the reality that the verse goes on to next. It talks about his life. He was meeting the conditions for the grace of God, and yet he never earned that grace. When you're connected to the vine and you're a branch, are you earning that grace, that life flow, because you're connected? Absolutely not. And so God gets all the glory for it, and yet at the same time, we have a responsibility to receive the grace of God and to not fail the grace of God, but to receive it, to be humble ourselves before Him. You know what? We received grace when it comes to salvation. In fact, all of salvation can be described by that word, grace. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus 3:7, being justified by His grace. Ephesians 2:5, by grace ye are saved. There's an element to which everything that God's done to us in salvation is His unmerited favor towards us. Him wanting in His eyes to do something for us, though we were completely undeserving of it. And all that God has done for us in salvation can be called grace, so that at the end of the day, in Ephesians, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And all that He's done in our salvation. But I encourage you, too, that this grace involves our daily living. So that's why when we talk about when God gives us grace, the impact is that it's empowerment to do all that God wants us to do. He enables us to live right, to do what's right, to do the things that He has called us to do. Let's see here, which one we start with? Romans 5:2. By whom, that's Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand. So our whole standing before God is one of graciousness to God. And yet He says, you and I can have access to that grace by faith. You and I claim the grace of God, His ongoing activity towards us to give us the benefits and the things that we need. If you abide in Christ, His words abide in you. You can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. God wants us to call out and ask for His work, His benefit, His gifts in our lives. And it's interesting, it can summarize all that God does. The Apostle Paul thanks God for the Corinthian believers. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He said, every area that you're improving, every part in which you are changing and becoming like Christ, everything that I can thank God for, he says, I can thank him for the grace. That's grace. That's grace. That's grace. It's all of grace. The 2 Timothy 2:1, he tells us, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In fact, God wants us to seek grace every time we go to prayer. He says, I know I'm kind of cutting in and out on you. I'm sorry about that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to find help in time of need. It is the grace of God that we seek every time we go in prayer. Do I go because he's going to I've earned it somehow? Absolutely not. I have everything is given to me because I'm in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ earned all the benefits. And yet I seek it and pursue it in my life. One of my favorite verses all time, I'm going to give two of them back to back here. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. If you have the grace of God, there is not a victory that you cannot attain. There is not a hurdle, an obstacle that you can overcome. There is no work that God has called you to do that you cannot do because he has sufficient grace for you. That's why we say, what do I need in my life? If you have the grace of God multiplied to you, abounding in your life, you will have sufficiency to be the right husband. You will have sufficiency to be the right son or daughter. You'll have sufficiency to be the right grandparent. You'll have everything that you need as it's coming from God. The other one here is 1 Corinthians 15:10. I love this verse. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. The Apostle Paul never strutted around and said, look what I've done for Jesus Christ. Look at how I've changed. Lo, I used to be a persecutor, but now, yes, he would glory in what God had done, but it was never in himself. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He gets all of the glory. And he says, this grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all. There's a realization. God is at work. He's giving me grace. I better use that grace. I've got a responsibility to act upon this grace that he's giving. He's empowering me. I must obey. Then he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. You know what? You need grace to use the grace. God's giving grace, and you say, man, I got a responsibility to use that grace. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give you the grace to use the grace. What an amazing God. He's got it all covered and taken care of for us. You know, when we come to this element of grace, grace is mentioned in terms of spiritual gifts. I don't think we have to nail into that necessarily. But he says that we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every different gift that you have to serve God's people and his church is the grace of God that is given to you. And then I want to just end with this aspect on grace, is that grace can make you to endure. You're going through difficulties. Your life has turned upside down in a moment. God told the Apostle Paul, who prayed three times for a thorn to be removed from his side. We don't know exactly what that is. We don't know the trouble that he was going through, but it was something that he begged God, and he wrestled with God, not once, not twice, three times, saying, God, please take this away from me. And God's response to him was not just a no, because he did not remove that thorn from his flesh, but what he said was, My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not exaggerating when the Bible says, the grace of God is sufficient for you in every area of your life. And if you can live by God's grace alone. You don't have to have money. You don't necessarily have to have food. But you have to have the grace of God. And so he's calling for him and saying, this is what you must pursue. Secondly, let's look at, and finally, we'll look at this word peace. Peace is a beautiful word. I just want to give you two examples of this. What would you think of this as the opposite of peace? And there are different pieces used in multiple different ways. And I've got some antonyms for peace that are found throughout the Scripture. But one that I find incredibly insightful and helps us understand what it is Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. It says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, we have to understand that that sounds pretty harsh when he says, God says, I create evil. He is not saying that what is wicked in this world, he is responsible for that. That's not anything what he's saying. We have to understand what evil is. Evil is anything that mars what is good. So something that's good, you know, I could have a shirt here or whatever, and you know, sometimes it happens with ties or something. You've got a nice, good tie, and you wear it and wear it. I've got several ties that I wore back in college. Man, they're my favorite ties. They've been with me for 20 years, everything. And all of a sudden, they get these little things coming out of them, and I don't wear them anymore because there's one spot on it that looks dumpy, and I should probably just throw them away. But I don't, and I would look at them, oh, maybe I'll, and so maybe you might catch me wearing them anyway. So I say I don't wear them, but maybe I do. But the point is, that little thread that's coming out, that's the evil. That's the problem. Peace is the opposite of that. Peace is a wholeness of good. And that's the way the Scripture uses it. So when they would talk about peace, we often think of the word as just harmonious relationships. And that's what peace looks like when it comes between two people. But peace is everything as it ought to be. All of it being good. Jeremiah 8:15 says, we looked for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, and behold, trouble. You know, in fact, health is described with peace. Wholeness in health. You know, sickness is like evil to the wholeness of health in terms of what would be peace. They're very synonymous. In fact, when Jesus healed someone that was, it's in Luke chapter 8. He was speaking to the woman who had touched him, and she had been healed in her body. And he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. See, the element here is not just simply tranquility, but the idea of God's result. When God brings grace into your life, everything in your life is the way that it should be. It is all right before God. When we think about peace, it means that you have peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. Because he stands between us as the mediator, my relationship with God is the way it's supposed to be. There's nothing that hinders my fellowship with him. In fact, peace is described as synonymous with life itself. It's the opposite of confusion. It's the opposite of fear. It's the opposite of trembling. It's the opposite of disease. And so there's an element to which peace encompasses all that God intends for us. In terms of peace with one another, yes, the Bible uses it in that terms as well. He says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So yes, there's the vertical dimension, peace with God. Then we live in the grace of God. That's what gives us peace one with another. And what God wants to give to you through the gospel of Jesus Christ is peace. I just read for you Isaiah 52. He says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings." That's the gospel. "That publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth salvation, that saith into Zion, thy God reigneth." That's why when we describe what is the kingdom of God like, it is righteousness, it is peace upon the earth. When the angels declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards God." It is the full expression of all that God wants to bring into your life, the peace of God. Interestingly enough, it is the very presence of God Himself that brings peace into your life. The opposite of peace, in some ways, that internal turmoil of anxiety says, "Be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And he goes on a little bit later and he says, "And the God of peace shall be with you." When you have a right relationship with God and you're walking with Him and the grace of God is flowing, the end result is that you are filled with a tranquility, a quietness, a peace within you, that assurance, that confidence. That's what God wants you to live with on a daily basis in your heart. If you don't have that, God says you should seek it in prayer, because as you cast every care upon the Lord, His peace will bring you to that place. In fact, it's the peace of God that can rule in your hearts. If something causes you to lack peace, or something causes you to lack peace with a brother in the church, you say, it says it needs to rule in your heart, so that it's like an umpire who calls balls and strikes. He says, "Oh, that's a ball. That's outside the peace zone. It's not creating peace with one another. I don't have any peace before God. I don't have any confidence, assurance before Him in this regard." Cut it out. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. One final verse that I'll leave you with here is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means." I'm going to tell you what God's doing in your life. You say, "What's God doing?" God's going to get you to a place where you recognize that you need the grace of God. Because God has a plan for you. Oh, I'm sorry. I said one more verse. I lied. I'm going to give you one more. But I'm pulling it from this morning. All right. I know you're tracking with me here. He says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The end that God has for us is that everything will be whole and complete, and there will be nothing that mars His design for us. That's the goodness and the grace that God has for us, and He's going to use every means possible to get us to that glorious end. And so, this is not just a greeting. It is the summary of everything that we need in the Christian walk. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray, Father, that you might take these simple, short words and make it true in our lives, that we can say your grace is sufficient. Every time you tell us no and a desire or something that we want, but you tell us the grace is sufficient, we might say amen and praise your name. And then when there's great difficulties and great obstacles and great fears all around us and we're in confusion, that we might have the presence of you, our Savior, the God of peace, to be with us, so that the peace of God may keep and guard our hearts at all times. We would have joy and quietness in our hearts because you are our God. And so, Lord, we look to you to fulfill your word towards us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.